Just wait until they're gone. We need some people to sit on this side with her. It's all good. It's interesting. With the last few songs, like I don't know what your discernment of what was going on, I just want to share this, hopefully for confirmation, hopefully for a little bit of explanation as well, even. But at least according to my discernment, and not that my discernment is perfect or anything, but we never quite broke through. And I knew we wouldn't. And what I mean by that is, I think the Lord is really teaching us something. And some mornings when we worship together and when we gather, it's so easy to break through. And it's almost like it's starting right from the beginning, and that fellowship and that hearing him and that seeing him and that knowing him. I think one of the things that the Lord is teaching us and showing us is that, yeah, we need to push. We need to push. And I know it's not in many of our natures to push. It's not natural to many of us. And so I think it's absolutely necessary, though. As we were worshiping, it's so neat to see how what the Lord is doing this morning coincides so much with what he was giving me for this morning. But as we were worshiping, I was just thinking to myself, God was reminding me earlier in this week of how a lot of my life has been in stages, and for the longest time, it seemed to be going in 3-year stages, and I was reminded of that by some people who love me and were teasing me about it a little bit, and I'd spend 3 years somewhere, so... You know, well, 4 years in Bible college because it was a 4-year program, and but 3 years in Haiti, and then actually, 3 years then at Penner Lumber, and then 6 years, so 3 times 2, I guess, at Fast Tech, and then 3 years in Thailand, and then 3 years at St. Anne's, 3.5 actually, and then when the 3-year time came for Emmanuel Grace, which was last year, they were kind of ribbing me a little bit. Oh, so are you moving on? You know, it's 3 years, you know, you got something new coming up. And I said to them, no, actually, I feel like this is home now. This is the rest of my life, if you will. And I don't sense any calling from the Lord to move on from this place, as in place of ministry. But I do feel a calling to move on in my walk with him. And as I think about those 3 years and 3 years and 6 years and 3 years and 3 years, it's like the Lord had different things to show me and to teach me and different things, different places to take me. And it was always moving. And he is always moving. And I actually wrote down here during that last song, and I know that the one verse is, I long to be where the praise is never ending, and it's talking about being in his presence in heaven. And yet, I just wrote down here, I long to be where the Lord is. But if we want to be where the Lord is, then we need to keep moving because he's always on the move. And we always need to be moving. We always need to be progressing. And I've shared this before about relationships, about marriage, and that it needs to be growing. It has to be growing. If it's not growing, it's dying. And there has to be change. There has to be constant change into a healthier and healthier place. Otherwise, something starts to regress. And in friendships, I think it's like that. And things can get stale really quick if it's not progressing. And I've shared before with Carlene and my marriage, like, we're at a place where I never thought we would be. It's better than I ever thought we could be. And yet, I know that we need to keep on growing. There needs to be growth. And I've shared before with my walk with the Lord, I never thought I would be at this place. I never thought I would be this close to the Lord. And yet, I know that I need to keep growing. And there needs to be more. And there needs to be a pushing. And there needs to be a progression. And so we need to keep moving. Because if we don't move, we stagnate. And as soon as you stagnate, you start dying. And so I love where God has brought us, but he wants to birth more. I love God, what God has done in us, but he wants to birth more. Now, I love it because I know that we are asking for more. And it's not like we want to remain stagnant. It's not like we want to say, woohoo, we've arrived, and let's just plateau now. I don't think there's anyone in this room that is saying that. Sometimes there is this place of, though, I want to move forward, but I don't know how. Or there's this big veil in front of me. And like we've heard this morning, you know, where we need to push through that. And it's this place of things aren't always going to come easy. And I know we know that. And so I know I'm not saying anything new. But we got to push through. And it might get ugly. And it might get sweaty. And it might get hard. But we need to. We need to push through. We need to press in. We need to continually seek for more. I was reading through some of the epistles, and I was reading in 2 Peter. I'm just going to read that for you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Peter is talking to one of the churches that he's serving, and he says, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And then in 1 John, I continued reading just in order. In 1 John chapter 1, John starts it off, That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We have been asking for more of the Lord, and so much is going through my head right now. I want to make sure I get it in the right order. We have been asking for more, and we want to proclaim more. As I was reading these verses, I was so drawn to the fact that they weren't talking theory. John was not talking theory. Peter was not talking theory. He wasn't talking theology. And you know I love theology. I love putting the scriptures together. I love seeing how it all fits together. But they weren't talking theology. They were talking experience. See, even in Peter's day, there were people who were saying, you're just making up fairy tales right now. You're just talking about fairy tales. You're talking about stories that are made up. And Peter's like, no, I'm not talking to you about a story I heard. I experienced this. I was on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's what he's talking specifically about in 2 Peter 1 there. I was on the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw Jesus, his robes gleam so bright. I heard the voice come from heaven and say, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." I saw him die on the cross. I saw them bury him. I saw him resurrected. I touched him. I ate food with him afterwards. He spoke with me. He walked with me on the beach after he rose from the dead. I'm not talking about stuff that is theory or things that I've heard or things in a sermon. I'm talking about things that I've experienced and I know for myself. And that's my longing. That's many of our longings of, I want more, Lord. See, then as I'm meditating on this, as I'm meditating on this truth, and speaking of truth, actually, a little side note, then I was reading in I Give You Authority by Charles Kraft there, and he talks about the words truth and knowledge. And again, I love knowledge. I love studying. I love reading. I love just drinking in information, whether it be in the scriptures or from men and women who have read the scriptures and are expounding on them and teaching on them. I love just drinking that in. But Charles Kraft says the Greek words for truth and knowledge, it's not just something that's going in the head and that we can write down on a piece of paper. It implies that these things have been learned, the truth that you're talking about, or when it's truth, it's you've learned them by experience. You've walked them out. You know, so for instance, we've been talking about birth this morning, and I can read on birth. I can read up on it. I can listen to testimonies of birthing, and I can watch a birthing, you know, if you know, all of that. And yet, do I really understand birthing? From a husband's perspective, I do, because I've been there. But that's as far as my understanding can go, and that's as far as my knowledge can go, because from what my wife says, my perspective of whether it's reading the books that we read, you know, what to expect when you're expecting and all of that, you know, before the birth of our children and that, and getting ready for it and going through classes and talking with people who have had that experience, it's nothing like going through it. And so before Carlene gave birth to Tyler, she had an understanding of it, but then she understood it. But even there, we had plenty of time with Tyler. I'm not going to get too detailed here, but we had plenty of time with Tyler. So she had an epidural, so it was actually quite, by her own admission, okay, quite a pleasant experience. Andrew, however, came really fast. We had to leave the car in the ambulance parking space, which is totally illegal, and yet the hospital had sent us home once already, and when we came back, Andrew was ready to come. So there was no time for an epidural. And I would say then, Carlene truly understood birthing. And it's like, Lord, we read so much. And we see it in your word. And as I'm meditating on this, I go back to John 14, where it talks about ask, and ask in my name and you'll receive it. But then he says, or before that, he even says, and these things that I've been doing, you will do even greater things than these. See, for me, I look at that. Whenever I come to that passage, I close my Bible because I can't just keep reading. I can't just keep reading on then. I close my Bible and say, Lord, that's not true of me. I understand it theologically. I understand it. I understand it theoretically, and I understand that it's truth, and I can preach on it and teach on it, but it's like me teaching what a birthing experience is like. And it's a lot of, it'll be a lot of phrases of, well, I've heard. And I've talked to people. I've done interviews and I've read books. And I can give you even the biology of it if I study enough and the theory of it. But Lord, I don't know it. I don't know that verse. I don't know it, and I want to know it. And again, I praise God for where he's brought me. I praise God for what he's done in my life. I praise God for what he's done in our lives. I've seen changes. I've seen stuff changing. And it's been really neat. You know, we've been together. We're in our seventh year, right? We started in 2011. Right? I'm getting a nod from Carlene. So this coming fall, it'll be 7 years when we started as a Bible study, and we're already past the four-year mark of us being a church, kind of like where this is, that's the full-time thing. And I love where he's brought us. But I feel like he wants to, and we've had this for a while, I feel like he wants to birth something in us that is unlike anything we have experienced before, anything we have walked out before. I believe he wants to make the words of Scripture that have so far been theology to us. And belief, don't get me wrong, we believe it as much as we can. We believe it. And so it's not this place of, oh yeah, I should believe more. Oh, I'm not believing enough. I should believe more. No, I really truly believe from the Lord, from the Lord's lips to our ears, we believe as much as we can believe right now. Like, we know what we know. And in some of these things, we have just a theological knowledge of it. But God wants to give birth to the walking it out more and more. And not just, in my heart, I'm seeing this place of not just a gradual increase, but like a birth where at one point the baby is in the womb, and then at some point there, it goes, the baby travels through the birth canal and is out in the world. Now, this is coming to my mind right now, so okay, forgive me if I'm not totally, you know, right in this, but I know I'm right about what I'm about to say. We believe that the baby is fully a baby before it travels through the birthing canal and out into the open. And I guess then what that encourages me, and this is the part where I'm just, okay, I got to think about this for a while. What is in us is already the baby. It just hasn't been birthed yet. What is stirring in our spirits, the rumbling and the kicking and the heartbeat, it's real. Like everything, as we go to the Lord in prayer and as we have asked and asked and asked, because I don't want to ever manufacture anything. So even on a morning like this morning where it was tough in worship, okay, not saying anything against you, Craig, because it doesn't have anything to do with you. I mean, it has to do with you as much as it has to do with any of all of us, okay? So it's not because the worship team wasn't playing skillfully. They're just as skilled as ever, you know? And yet even in the music portion of it, like even in just the purely music, you know, because I know many of us are musical here, something was different than other times. Something was, again, don't take offense or anything, and if you do, we'll work through that later. But like something was lacking in the musicality of it even. It just didn't have that conviction and that oomph. It reminds me of, we love movies here. It reminds me of like Sister Act 1 or 2, especially with the kids in that movie, and when they start singing a song and they're just not into it, and they're just like, you know, and they're singing the right notes, but it's just not there. But then when you sing a song and you are singing it from the tips of your toes to the top of your head, you know, so even musically I could notice it this morning. But one thing I never want us to do this. I don't want us to try and manufacture anything. I don't want us to pretend that the Spirit of God is moving in a mighty way when he isn't. Okay? Because I hate that. I've been to services like that where it's like, oh, God is moving right now. And I'm like, he's not moving yet. Like, this is like, at least according to my discernment, I don't... No, we're stuck in mud right now. I never want us to pretend. And I also never want us to try and stir up in the soul what can only be birthed in the Spirit. And so it's like, Lord, the baby isn't there yet. Oh, yeah, the baby's here. It's beautiful. No, it's not. I see the cresting of the baby's head. And we need to push. And this isn't the last time. Like, there is this place, like, we will continue, and I don't know if it's always in 3-year increments and that, I don't think so, but it's like, the Lord will take us deeper, and then the Lord will take us deeper. He will birth something new, and then he'll birth something new again, and he'll birth something new again. And we will, I think, the rest of our lives have this cry in our hearts, Lord, I want more, because there's always more of God. Because he is eternal, not just in length of days, but in depth of character. He is eternal. And so we want to push through. I want to be able to speak of what I know. Many things that we speak of, we know already. But there's other things that we speak of that we don't yet know. And again, that's not a bad thing. That's not our fault, like thinking that kind of thinking is wrong thinking. And it's not that God expects us to know. He knows that we don't. And then he's saying, okay, I've impregnated you with this. And these rumblings, they're from me. And these longings, they're from me. Now push through, push through. Push through. Don't give up. Don't accept less. We are called to do greater things. We are called to do the things that we see Jesus doing. That's our calling. That's every believer's calling. That's not just for a few. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Don't believe the lies of it will never happen. Oh, the enemy has tried to push that lie on me so much. I see it happening in other people's lives. I see it happening in Randy and Darla. It's never going to happen in me. Not that our calling will look like them. One thing I'm absolutely convinced of is, yeah, we have our own calling. Both like Carlene and I, but also Emmanuel Grace. Emmanuel Grace is not meant to look like Hope Church. It's not meant to look like the Jordan. We have a separate calling, but the power of God and the movement of God. I especially think of what he's talked to us about healing in that. He's mentioned that so many times, both inner healing in the soul. Like to see people healed in their emotions and in their thinking, but also physical healing. That keeps kicking in my womb. It's like, Lord, I believe. I don't want this baby to be aborted through unbelief. I don't want this baby to be stillborn because I haven't nourished it, because I haven't fed it. I want this to be fed. What I mean by that then is fed in prayer, fed in belief, fed in seeking the Lord, fed by asking and asking and asking again, by calling out to the Lord, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. He is the giver of good gifts, and he has planted these gifts inside of us. He has planted calling inside of us. We are further. I don't know how you think about your lives in that. Like, if you can say amen to the way what I've talked about with Carlene and myself, like where, yeah, Carlene and I are further than we ever thought we would be, or I am further in my walk with God than I ever thought I would be. I'm not sure if you think that about your lives, or if you think that way. If you do, I want to encourage you, don't settle. And there is more. There's always more. I long to be where God has called us to be. I long to walk it out. As I was dwelling on these things then, Matthew chapter 13 came to mind, and where it talks about the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. The person finds that treasure, and he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. You give everything. You seek after the kingdom of God and the portion of the kingdom of God that he's planted in us right now. And there's more to come. There's more babies to come, but I'm talking about the one that is implanted in us right now. It's like, yeah, he has impregnated us with himself because it's God, right? And the kingdom of God, the best part of the kingdom of God, if not really the only part of the kingdom, like the only thing that is the kingdom of God is God himself. I'm getting a little theoretical there, but like, understand that it's not enough to just say the best part of the kingdom of God is God. He is the kingdom of God. He is the living stone. He is, anyways. He has taken of himself and put that in us. And to be bold and courageous and push through. Again, that picture of a pregnant mom in the very last, you know, half hour or whatever, or 15 minutes or 10 minutes of birthing. And I've experienced that. I've experienced being there. It is not pretty. And all decorum is out the window. I don't think it mattered to you who was in the room. Doesn't matter who's in the room and who sees, who cares? Just got to get this baby out. Who cares if my hair looks horrible? Who cares if I am crying and sweating? Who cares if I'm screaming? I don't care if people down the hallway are trying to sleep. They shouldn't be in the pregnancy ward then. I really don't care. I just want to get this baby out. Oh, Lord, deal with fear in us. Deal with the fear and deal with the worry. I would love to do a study on that. I might have to do that when I get home then. Look it up. But I wonder what worry does when you're trying to give birth. And if you are worried about what people will think and if it tightens everything up where it's like, no, no. God has called us to things. The things that he has shared with us over the last weeks, months, years, they are from him. And to seek after it with all our heart, to seek after him with all our heart, to accept the fact that we are going to do greater things than what we see right now. And to see it birthed. Sell everything. Search tirelessly. May our focus be on seeing this baby born. I don't want to be in the same place that I am right now, 6 months from now. And I would love to see this baby born. I said to the Lord, and sometimes I guess when, just like, it's so funny, the analogy really fits well. Just like a beautiful bride who is giving birth. That's you, dear, when you were giving birth there. You know? Actually, Carlene was quite good. She didn't scream at me and she screamed out, but she didn't scream at me, making demands and all that. But I've heard that that happens sometimes. But I've said to the Lord recently, like, I can't take it. It's funny, you get really honest sometimes when you're desperate and when you're you're in that place, and Lord, I need to see this born. Like, I'm dying here. I'm dying here. I need to see this born. I can't just live with, like, it's like, you know, Candace, you've been through it once, and well, how far along are you? 3-4 months now? Weeks. Moms always talk in weeks. My baby's 1,364 weeks old. But you're going to get to in around then, so 19 weeks is four and a half months, five-ish, yeah? All right. It's going to come when it's going to come. But then in about 3 months, you know that the time is going to come where you're just like, I'm ready for this baby to be born. I am so ready. Like, I am sick and tired of this. Get out. And then as the date approaches and you go past your due date, did you go past your last one? I thought I remembered that. It's like, come on. I feel like I'm at that place. I don't know if I'm just a few weeks before or a few weeks after, and I think that has to do with us too. Like, it's like, come on. I'm ready for this baby to be born. I want to speak of what we know. I want to stop speaking to people in theory. I want to stop reading these verses and reading them as theology. And I want to see your kingdom come, your will be done. All those things that you're talking to us about, I want to see it happen, Lord God. And I know these thoughts are from you. They're not selfish thoughts. They're not self-serving thoughts. They're not so that we can brag about ourselves. Lord, these things are from you. And I reject every lie that the enemy has spoken over us. I reject all the lies and accusations of trying to see these things come so that you can brag and boast and all these things. I reject that in the name of Jesus. I reject all the lies of it's never going to happen. I reject all the lies of what are people going to think, and all these things of what are your parents going to think, what are your brothers and sisters going to think, what's the MB church going to think for me, because like I still feel like that's my background, and what are they going to think, and I don't care. I want to see this baby born because I know it's from the Lord. So I'm asking, press in more. Press in more. Breathe him in more. Breathe him in. You know, I say that because, again, in pregnancy, it's all the breathe. Make sure you breathe in, out. Right? Make sure you breathe. Breathe him in. Talk to him. Call out to him. Listen to him. But press in. Are there any questions or comments on this?
Yeah. What kept coming to me is, I don't know, it was a while ago. I was thinking about all the scriptures that the Holy Spirit brings to my heart when I'm, say, counseling or just talking to people, or I mean, it comes easily for me, and I love it, and it's, you know, it's life and everything. But one time I said to the Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Like, you know, and I heard him say, live it. And so I don't know if that, you know, adds to what you're saying, but it's that spoke to me in volumes, that's for sure.
That's good.
We've used the term, there's weight behind it when someone says or shares something and all of a sudden it's got that punch to it in a sense. And in terms of manufacturing something, you don't need to. And it reminded me of a teacher I had in high school, a history teacher, and for the first half of the year, he's not a very charismatic teacher at all, in the sense that he was very monotone and could make it, you know, it could come across dry in a sense, mm-hmm. what he was teaching. And we were going through some of World War II and that. Then the one day came where the football team was playing and the barbecue's going outside, and his name was Dr. Orme. We said, Dr. Orme, you come in. He was an Hungarian, an older Hungarian guy. You coming down to watch the game? Barbecue's going. Do you want something? No, I don't go down there. I'm staying away. And we were pressing him to come down and at least have a hot dog or a hamburger. No, I can't go near the barbecue. I said, well, no, just the smell of the smoke and that. And we're pressing in. So, well, what's the problem with that? It smells good to me. No, I had to tear a bunch of my buddies out of burning aircraft in World War II, and that smell stayed with me. And that stench, he says, I cannot even enjoy a barbecue or be near the smell of that smoke. It just triggers that memory back. Boom, mm-hmm. boom, boom, boom. Then I think the second half of that course, you don't think it was different? He was just as monotone as ever before, but there was weight behind everything he was teaching because it came from that personal. He was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm just paralleling that to our Christian walk. You know, when we're walking it the way you're talking about, we won't have to manufacture anything because it's there.
Yeah.
You know, in that regard.
See, when I think about the gifts, like I know that we walk in some of the gifts, and it's there's that weight behind it. And that's why even like in worship, it's when we don't have a time of worship where it's boom, you know, where we're in the presence of God, it's actually surprising. It's nice that it's surprising actually now. Like it's like, ooh, that's unusual. And because there's a weight. And I know that we know already, so God has birthed things in us already, and we see the weight there. And I know for me, I experience it when I preach or when I teach and when I counsel in that, and yet in these other areas that the Lord has been talking to us about, it's like, but Lord, that's not the same over there. I'm just talking theory over there, and I want that now. I'm looking forward to the birthing of that child, if you will, in us, where there's that experiential knowledge, where we not just know the truth in our heads, but we know the truth. So he knew the truth of World War II. He knew the truth of what it's like. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah. As all Americans are.
No, when you were talking, and also when you were sharing your lovely stories about your, you know, at work. And I was just thinking about the story of Zacchaeus, you know, when Jesus was in Jericho, and how he always did the unexpected. And I think that's why the parables are just, you know, his life is just so fascinating, because he always did the unexpected. I mean, he had crowds with him. He could have went to lunch, you know, with and been this celebrated guest, but yet he looked around and said, who's the most unpopular person in this crowd, and picked them out, you know, to dine with them. And I just think sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, I always look for something beyond where I am, but just kind of looking at our surroundings in a different way, you know, is to follow the life of Christ, to do the unexpected.
Amen. That's good. All right, so one final thing then. There are many enemies to, in the enemy camp, there are many enemies of a healthy birth, okay? And we've talked about some of them, fear and timidity. Even our own niceness can get in the way. Here's one that, it'll sound weird because there is a holy component to this, but there's also an unholy component. It can, our counterfeit, and that's contentment. I praise God that we are content. Someone was talking about contentment this morning. Larry was. And a holy contentment is a powerful witness. And I understand what it is to walk in holy contentment. Because, yeah, I'm in many ways, it's so funny, I'm a little bit of a dichotomy, aren't I, Carr? You know, where in many ways I'm very content. In other ways, I'm not content at all. And I think there is a, not that I walk it out perfectly, but there is a holiness to both sides of that. But being content in everything almost, if you will, can be, not always is, but can be harmful to what God wants to birth in you. Because the unholy contentment that I'm talking about is, but life's fine. Everything's good. I don't need anything else. I don't need anything more. I really am concerned, and again, I love speaking it here because I think we're all crying out for more. So this is really... almost doesn't need to be spoken here, but we always need more. We're always calling out for more. We should be. Now, there will be a place, so when this happens, when God does what he has impregnated us with, when that comes about more and more, like when there is this birthing, there will be a time of, hey, this is good, and you see the baby grow. I don't need to get pregnant right away again. Like, we got this baby now, and I'm good, you know. But there will come a time where okay, the Lord wants to show us more and give us more, and this desire will start again. And so if you see that unholy contentment in yourself, I would just say, like, ask the Lord to take that away. Ask the Lord to remove and break off that curse of unholy contentment. I want to make sure this one's making sense. I want to make sure everything makes sense, but I want to make sure we understand this. Because I'm not talking about holy contentment. So holy contentment is like, okay, you don't have as much as what other people have, and that, I'm fine with that. Or not as popular. Our church isn't as big as other churches. I'm fine with that, right? It's all fine. That's good, because I believe we are the size that God wants us to be right now, and that's good. And we might be this way forever. Remember the small boat, you know, that we've talked about in the vision, and that's good. Or I'm content in what God has supplied. I'm content and joy filled and happy. Filled with rejoicing in family and in friends and in all these things, in health. You know, I could be healthier, but I'm content, but I'm asking for things as well. But there is a holy contentment. But then the unholy is like, yeah, I really don't need to grow anymore. I'm good. I don't need to search. I don't need to seek. And I just, if you see any of that in you, just ask the Lord to break that curse, because that's a curse on our lives. Even like the younger crowd uses the word chill, or at least you guys used to use the word chill. I don't know if that's still an in word, okay? And I'm sure that now that I'm starting to use it, it's going to be fast an out word, you know? No, that's not cool anymore. And praise God for that, where, again, it's just another word for contentment, but there is an unholy chill, if you will. There's an unholy place of it. And it's like, Lord, I pray for that. I don't want to be on either ditch, in either ditch. I want to be on that narrow path. Does that make sense? I want to make sure we understand that. There should always be a pursuit going on.
Yeah. I was just thinking about the way we know that we're in the ditch of, I guess, I don't know, just anxiety. If you feel that, like you were saying, if you feel that anxiety, mm-hmm. then you know.
Yeah, that's not good.
It's not. God's contentment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. If there's an anxiety, there's usually not contentment. And so that's an unholy ditch on this side. But what I would say is, you know, you're in the other ditch if there's no what? Yeah, motivation. It's good. If there's not that motivation, if there's not that pursuit. It's funny. Okay, last story then. Because this is where I think I sometimes get it right. And I'm going to share, you guys have heard this before, and you guys know this about Carlene and I. Again, we are at such a place, and I'll just say this forever, because I'm so grateful to God, how he's healed us, and everything. I'm so happy. But I pursue Carlene like crazy. Okay? And to the point of annoying her. Now, I take it too far. I definitely take it too far. You know, she's just, and sometimes, I know when it gets too far, when she's like, stop it. What do you want? But there is a holiness to it as well, where that continual pursuit. And she'll sometimes ask me, are you not happy? Are you happy? I'm incredibly happy. I'm incredibly content. I'm content. But I want more. And there is that place of, we can be content but want more of the Lord, of each other, in our marriages, in our friendships, in the fruit that we see in our lives. We can be content with what we see the Lord doing in our kids' lives, but we want more. We want more for them. I'm so happy with the way the Lord is working in my son's lives, but I want more for them. And so do you understand that then? There is this place of, yeah, I'm good. I'm really good. Now give me another hug. But that's how it comes out in our relate, or at least from my perspective, my side of things. Does that make sense, though? I'm content, but I want more. I think that is that narrow road in marriage, in our relationship with God. I'm so happy, so pleased. I sit back and I smile as I think about the things that God has done and is doing. But Lord, now I want more. Because I know there's more. I think that's the holy place. That's the sweet spot. That's that narrow path. Okay? All right, let me pray, and then, because I just want to pray for this birth. Lord, again, I know your timing is hard to understand. Almost 2,000 years ago, you said to John that you were coming soon. And so it's obvious to me that I don't understand your timing. I don't get it. And Lord, with the birthing of our children, we know that it's 40 weeks. We know that right around that time, it's 38 to 40, 41, 42 weeks in that time period. But with this birth, Lord God, it seems like we've been pregnant a long time. And even as I say this morning, I feel like the baby's head is cresting. And it's, we're right there. I admit to you, Lord, I don't know what that means even. But Lord, we just want to see the things that you have just planted inside of us, the things that you have impregnated us with, Lord God. We want to see them birthed. We want to see them come to reality. We want to see those things of more that you have been pointing to and you have been talking to us about and you have been encouraging us with and speaking to us about over and over and over again. And we want to see it come about, Lord God. And so if there's anything hindering, I pray that you would show us what's hindering so that we can get rid of it, so that we can take it out of the way. If there's things that are holding us back, I pray that we would be set free from them. I pray against anxiety. I pray against fear. I pray against propriety, unholy propriety, Lord God. And I pray that we would just be set free to just cry out to you. To cry out to you with all our heart, with everything that's in us. I pray that nothing would block us, Lord God. And we praise you. We praise you. We praise you for this baby that you've just planted in us, Lord God. We worship you. And we're excited to, and we're just excited to continue to walk with you and see this birthed. We love you, and we pray this in your name. Amen.